Stand to your feet and let's sing together. Blessed Assurance. 269 in the white. I'm glad that I've got Blessed Assurance this morning. I pray that you do as well, but if not, today you can make sure that you've got the assurance of God. You can have salvation through Jesus Christ today if you'll only heed His voice and heed His call when He knocks at your heart's door and surrender to Him for the salvation through Jesus Christ. This morning as we go to the Lord in prayer, let's continue to remember Phil Weaver. He's had some complications there with some blood clots and things from the surgery he had, moving through his catheter, so remember him. He's going through some difficulties there, but other than that, he's doing well, and he's very sore, but not in the pain like he was, so let's keep him in our prayers. Let's continue to remember Sister Shirley in her prayers as she's recovering. Let's keep her in our prayers, and Brother Stan, as he attends to her there. He's been her nurse for a while, so you just remember her and him, and keep them in your prayers. Remember each other. Let's continue to remember all the ones that have been having some health issues here in the church. The Lord would just touch them and heal them up. Stephen will go next month to for his checkup there on the 19th. Holden goes on the 17th. He's got a swelled up lymph node in his neck. So let's keep them in our prayers as they undergo their tests there. And others that are undergoing and recovering still, we thank the Lord for that. Continue to pray for them. Remember the expectant mothers and here in the congregation again. We thank the Lord for that, as God has seen fit for their families and the church to grow once again, and we're so thankful for that. So let's keep them in our prayers. If you're visiting with us, make yourself right at home in God's house where you ought to be if you're a child of God. Have any prayer requests by anyone this morning? So let's remember this family. Anyone else? By uplifted hand. So let's remember Sandy Hammock had a heart attack last Sunday, got blockages and diabetes on top of that now also. So let's keep him in our prayers. So let's remember Kathy and Donnie as they be traveling. Remember Jake, he had surgery this week. So let's remember this. And Gene has a CT scan done Tuesday. His aneurysm had grown just a little bit there, so they're wanting to check on that. So let's keep him in our prayers also. And Amy and Caleb sick this morning, so let's remember them. By an uplifted hand, anyone that can and will, please come to the altar for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before Your throne of grace and mercy, we thank You for this beautiful day that You've given us. This side of eternity, Lord, and for Your many blessings You've bestowed upon us, God. We are so unworthy, dear God, of such love that You extend to us. God, we thank You from the bottom of our hearts for loving us so greatly. Lord, we pray that You'd forgive us of our sins and failures as we come to church this morning. God, that everything would be clear between us, God, that we could come in true fellowship of You, have our minds and hearts and our spirits centered upon You, dear God, and leave the world behind. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning I pray for the lost. God, that they would surrender to the call, dear Heavenly Father, from above. God, that You have already sent Your Son. He's died to pay their debt. God, if they'll only accept it, dear Heavenly Father, and come unto Him. There's many who have the misconceptions just because He died on the cross. They're already saved, but they've never received Jesus as their Savior. They've never asked You to come in. They've never met with You, dear God, for salvation. And dear Heavenly Father, we pray that You open our eyes and show them through Your Word that it does take that a receiving of Your blood, dear God, upon them, that You have already shed it, but God, they have to come into the altar of repentance and ask You to come into their life and be their Savior. And God, it's that easy if they'll only submit to it. Lord, we pray today, dear God, for the men and women in armed services, wherever they may be, God, that You'd protect them, watch over them, dear Heavenly Father, keep them safe from harm and danger. Lord, we pray that You return our home folks, dear God, back home, that they went off to the services, dear God, safely. Lord, and that You would keep them, dear Heavenly Father, in special protection. Lord, we pray, dear Heavenly Father, today for all of our fire departments, law enforcement, dear God, and EMS workers that volunteer so much of their time. Dear God, keep them safe as they answer calls, Lord. And dear Heavenly Father, for Your people, dear God, that are on the mission fields today, God, wherever it might be, whether it's here at home or abroad, God, that are sharing the Word, that You would just give us the boldness to speak, dear Heavenly Father, and proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified, buried and risen again, dear Heavenly Father, seated at the right hand of God, sitting at the power side, dear Heavenly Father, to make judgment upon this world and also to make intercession for us as sinners, dear God, to plead our cause and case before an all-merciful God. Lord, we ask that You would remember these requests that's been made for this Wall, the Wall family, Lord, and their situation, God, there. You know what it is. Dear Heavenly Father, send resources, dear Heavenly Father, a home, dear God, that would be better fitted, dear Lord, for these children to grow up in. Dear God, send somebody, dear Heavenly Father, send them better jobs, whatever it might take care of their family, Lord, we pray. Dear God, we pray for the ones that are sick, as we think of Amy and Caleb, dear Lord, and many that are sick with this cold and thing going on right now, Lord, the congestion and the things going on, we pray that You just clear those up, Lord, and just put Your hand upon them, dear God. We think of Brother Phil this morning, Lord. We pray that You touch him and heal him from his surgery, God, that You continue to watch over him. Sister Shirley, Lord, that You'd continue to heal her. Take away the soreness. Give her strength, dear Heavenly Father, as she recuperates. Dear God, we're glad they was able to get all the cancer in the surgery and remove it, Lord, and we just pray there's no return there. God, that You'd lay Your hand upon her. And Lord, we pray for the many, dear God, Jacob, Lord, and his knee. God, we pray that You touch it. Dear Heavenly Father, that You'd heal it, and dear God, mend the patella part there, dear God, and put it back together, and it might work and function like it's supposed to. Dear God, give him a complete recovery from this. And Lord, we pray for the different ones, dear Heavenly Father, that's going to be traveling. Watch over, protect them, dear God. Guide them upon the highways and byways. Put Your hedge of protection about them and keep them safe, dear Heavenly Father, we pray. Thank You for those, dear God, that might be visiting with us for the first time. God, we pray that something be said or done, Lord, that would enlarge our territory, dear Heavenly Father, as the Word is preached.
dear God, that it will reach out, dear Heavenly Father, and take root in our heart, that we can grow and prosper from your word, dear Heavenly Father, and get off the milk and get on the meat and grow as Christians and be strong and steadfast in our beliefs and our conviction. God, we think about things that we've seen just recent days. Dear Heavenly Father, some of the awful pictures that we've seen posted of Jesus Christ and the things that he's doing, Lord, it's not his will, dear God, and people saying that it's not against their social policies, dear Heavenly Father, to remove such things. God, we pray that you would deal with their heart this morning, dear Heavenly Father, and God, that you would change their minds and change their hearts, dear Heavenly Father, across this landing country. God, so many people are seem to turn against the one that has the answer. So many have turned against the one that has the solutions to their problems, dear Heavenly Father, and they're only making their problems worse because they're walking further away from you. God, I pray that they would see and return unto you before it's everlasting too late, God, as a nation, that we turn to you in love, dear God, in repentance for the things that we've done. Go with us now. Take charge of this service. Bless the choir as they sang. Bless all the requests that's been made, all the hands that were raised of unspoken requests, dear Heavenly Father. Take them all into your throne room, dear God. Answer according to thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I can only imagine. can only imagine.
You know that song? I told a lot of people about it. I hear Brad a lot of times talk about his challenges with his sugar, losing his sight. And you know, that's, I can only just imagine what that's like. Somebody who's had a heart attack, who's had their struggles, who's lost children, and they tell me that. You know, I could feel, or wish I could feel, you know, their pain. And that's all really I can do. But I can only just imagine, really, from their shoes, what it's like. And that's the way heaven is. We can really only imagine. We can read the scriptures, and we can see a lot about what's there and know it. But till we get there, we just can only imagine. So I pray that you're on your way. I pray you know the way.
Ask a blessing on the offering this morning. Amen. Anyone that did the candy pledges, if you brought that today, there is a box out in the hallway for the children's fall festival, Hallelujah celebration. I'm not sure what name they put on it exactly. But it's an alternative to trick-or-treat. We'll be on Friday night here at the church. There will be games and different things, different stations, things going on. There will be a tour given by a tour guide, John the Revelator. We'll be here on Friday night to give a tour of the end times and things that goes on in Revelation. So we hope everyone can come out and be part of it, whether you're young or young at heart. Please come out and be with us on Friday night. We'll be glad to have you. Of time of fellowship and fun together. So remember this. Also, Cassandra's going to mention more about this in just a few minutes. She's going to make an announcement about it as well. Young people, if you have your survey, your information survey for the youth group, please turn that in today. They're going to use some of that information this afternoon in their youth committee meeting. If you would like to participate, if you have youth
in the group and would like to sit in this evening. They said you would be more than glad to sit in and give maybe some ideas of things for them to do as well. So remember this. All right, everyone, stand to your feet. Welcome each other to the church. Let's start making our way back to our seats, please. All right. Next Sunday, we are having a special veteran service. And I need our veterans that are members here at the church or go to church here regularly, if you would please raise your hand so I can get a count. We're going to do something special for you. And I've got it one time before, but I want to make sure how many we do have. So if you're a veteran, if you would please raise your hand so I can get a count. Okay. Let's go. Can you see them, Sandra?
Yeah.
I can see three. Is there more? Five? Okay. Good thing somebody else is counting. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. And do remember that will be next Sunday. We will be having a special service to honor them for what they've done for our country and presenting something special to those. I have invited the VFW and also the Marine League if they would come and attend. So we have had some promises from some of those guys. So we may have some extra folks here next week. I hope we do. And we are having a meal right after church. And so the sign-up sheet is on the back table. Please help us with that if you'd like to prepare for some food and bring. Church is providing barbecue. So I think they're looking for stuff like, where's Beth at? What? So baked beans, salads, and desserts. So and if you can fix one of each, that'll help my waistline. Last week worked on it, but I fought it off the rest of the week. I appreciated it. I told them I could cheat one day on my diet, so it was well worth it, and I appreciate it. We got some great cooks here at the church, and it shows up, and we have a meal, so we appreciate that. So is there anything else I've missed? I appreciate that. All right, got your announcement ready.
Well, he went over most of it, but this is just a reminder, of course, of the Fall Festival, Friday night, 31st, 6 o'clock. Come dressed as your Bible character. Bring your candy by Wednesday. And if anybody needs a ride, then contact either Wes or I so that we can plan on picking you up Friday evening. And if there's any adults here that want to come and that maybe want to help with the booths or with food or just supervising, just let us know too, because there's plenty to do if you want to come and help with that. Other than that, just be prepared to come and have fun. It'll be, you know, just like a school festival, just on a lower scale a little bit. So just keep it in mind, and I hope we have a great turnout, and it's our first trial, so pray that it goes well. Maybe we can continue this in the years to come. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. I believe Tammy's going to sing for us this morning. So if she would come on.
This is an old Johnny Cash song. It's Life's Railway to Heaven.
It talks about, we're going to be tempted. If we're saved, we're going to be tempted. That was our Sunday school lesson this morning, though I missed it, but I did it at home. So, if you're not saved, you're not going to be tempted because you're already on the wrong side. The devil's got you. If you're lacking in temptation, and when it comes to temptation, I can resist about anything but food.
Dr. Pepper.
Life is life. The
Have your Bibles this morning, turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Familiar story, but it's one that never grows old. Thank God. There's going to be a place where we never grow old,
And thank God the story never grows old about the salvation of Jesus Christ, and that we must be born again, that we must repent and surrender to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we must confess Him before men, that He will confess us before the Father. So let's this morning, as we look into God's Word, there may be someone here this morning that's lost, may not understand what it means to be saved and to surrender unto the salvation of Jesus Christ. This morning, we see that Nicodemus, as we're going to talk about for just a few moments of time, came to Jesus. And let me tell you, each and every one of us that's sitting here, some point in our life we've had to come to Jesus and be saved, to be born again, to be set free from the bondage of sin. Thank God that once I was saved, He made me different and set me free, and I've never been the same and don't want to be like I used to be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not what I'm going to be, because God is still working on me and God is working on you this morning. Your heart may be in the state of making a decision for Jesus Christ and Satan's trying to hold you back, but friend, don't hold back any longer. Surrender it to God. Come and ask Jesus to save you, and thank God if He's dealing with your heart, He'll save you today and make you clean and complete, because He left you incomplete when He created you, that you might search for Him for the completeness that you need this morning. In John chapter 3, it begins, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that Thou doest except God be with him. Thank God that there was a testimony of what Jesus was able to do, that they saw by the power that God had given him that he had to be a man from God, a teacher of God that came. Now, it has always intrigued me that Nicodemus came by night. There's many schools of thought why Nicodemus came by night. One, because he was a leader of the Jews, a religious leader of the Jews. He knew the law frontward, backward, sideways. He knew all about it, but he didn't know the lawgiver. He didn't know Jesus yet as his Savior. So he came with questions, and they say he came by night because he was a Jew. But also they said that because there was always a crowd around Jesus, and that was the best time to try to approach him if you wanted to get to have a one-on-one conversation with him, was by night. Let me tell you, I don't care whether it's by the day or whether it's by the night. If Jesus is calling, it's time to have a conversation with him this morning or this evening or tonight or whenever God deals with you. That's the time to seek the questions that you might have and take them to Jesus for the answers. He's the one that will always tell you the truth. You don't have to worry about whether it's true or not. God has never lied, never will, and He'll back up His Word. And Jesus being His Son, the Savior of the world, He has never backed up on one promise. He has never lost one soul that's been given His charge and had His blood applied to. He's not lost one yet, and He's not going to today, and He's not going to tomorrow. Thou art a teacher that come from God, for no man can do these miracles that Thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee. Now it's important when you see Jesus say, Verily, verily, or truly, truly. Now it's time to turn up your ears and listen when you see Jesus say these things. It's like in Revelation when it says, If he has an ear to hear, let him hear. It's important when he's talking that we listen and don't turn a deaf ear to him. Too many people today need some spiritual hearing aids. I said, did you hear me today? There's too many people need some spiritual hearing aids that need to be turned up that we'll hear God when he speaks to us. We get our hearing tested down here, and there's certain sounds we can't hear. And I know there's many people in here that's had to have hearing aids and things. Not a slam against them, but that just happens with the natural effects of these bodies getting some age on them and different things and working we've had. Some being in the war and different things cause problems. But listen, us as Christians shouldn't be having a hearing problem this morning when it comes to God. If we are spiritually in tune with Him, we're going to be able to hear His voice. We're going to be able to discern who's speaking to us, and we're going to know what we need to do. But it's time that we listen up to God. It's time that we open our ears and listen instead of putting the set on mute. You ever try to use a mute on your spouse or your children? Don't raise your hands. I don't want to get you in trouble. I can tell by the sniggering it's happened. I'm guilty. I've tried it on all of them. It don't work. It just gets louder. But they've tried it on me too, and it don't work either. They can't cut me off either. But anyway, we need to be listening to God. We need to turn up the volume and listen to His voice. He doesn't have to shout. If we'll listen, he speaks in a small, still voice. If you'll remember the prophet when he was down there complaining, I'm the only one left. All the rest of them, they bowed a knee to Baal. Now I'm the only one here. God spoke to him in that small, still voice. It wasn't in the storm. It wasn't in the fire. But it was in that small, still voice. He said, what are you doing here? Get down from here. I've got people down there that's not bowed down to Baal. They've listened to my voice. Get on down there about your business. We've all been guilty of that, going to the cave to hide. And say we're the only ones, but we're not. There's others around. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, like I said in my prayer, there's so many people think when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, and listen, don't get me wrong, they think when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary that their salvation was complete and they're right to a certain extent. Jesus paid it all. But there comes a point when we have to surrender to Him and ask Him to come in. He won't force it on us. It's not just ours by default. And that if we do too much bad, we're going to go to hell. It don't work that way. Here we see that Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's some misconceptions out there on the Word of God. People have been taught lies from the pulpit about salvation. Yes, you need to work out your salvation with fear and trembling between you and God, and you and God alone are the only ones that know for sure. No man can tell you, nobody can tell you, but you and God alone will know if you're saved. But listen, friend, there's something that we have to do not to make us saved, but to accept the salvation that Jesus has given by having a willing heart to receive Christ into our heart. Because He won't force Himself on you. Yes, He has died for all men. There's salvation for all mankind. But you have to heed the call of God. The drawing, the convicting power of God has to bring you to the point that you realize you're lost as you need to be saved. Nicodemus was confused like many people today are on salvation. Well, I signed the church card, I'm saved. No. Well, I'll put 100 in the plate every week, I'll be saved. No. Well, I'll get baptized in every string till every tadpole knows me by name. No. Well, I shook the preacher's hand, ain't I okay? No. You must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit just as you were born of the water coming into this life to be born into this world. You must be born of the Spirit of God to be able to enter into heaven. You must be born again. Nicodemus was confused. He was looking at the thing physically. There's so many people today that look at so much physically and don't look at it through spiritual eyes. Jesus answered, or Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? There's so many people questioning that today. Well, can I get to heaven some other way besides Jesus? No. He said He was the only way to get there. There's no side door to get into heaven. You're not going to slip somebody five and get in. It's not going to work that way. He said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus was confused on the being born part. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And there's many places today teaching there's all other ways to get in. You were not going to go any other way except through Jesus, not into God's heaven. Satan has many people blinded and got blinders on that they can't see. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, thank God I had a fleshly birth. September the 12th, 1969, I came into this world. And it's not been the same since. And it's not been the same since you was born in this world either. Because you're going to leave a mark on this world that no one else can. Because God made us all individual and unique and knows us all by name. And guess what? He knows the very hairs on our head. You don't think God ain't busy? You see, I talked about this on a Wednesday night. God's got to humble himself from the third heaven, come past the moon and the stars in the galaxy, and come down to this little heaven that we're in here that's above us, the atmosphere. He has to humble himself from where he's at to come down to where we're at to love us. And he knows that whatever's going on in our life, he knows our very heart, he knows what we're thinking this very moment. He knows our heart's condition, whether we're saved or whether we're lost, whether we're praying for the preacher, against the preacher. God knows it all. God knows it all. That which is born of flesh is flesh. And I was born to Bobby and Nancy Wooten in 1969. Tried to return my sister in 74. When she was born, they wouldn't take her back. Give up when my brother came into the world. I done figured out once that they wasn't going to take one back. They wasn't going to take him back either. But I thank God for them, because that is flesh and blood. We are kin here, and we are kin in God's heaven because of the blood of Christ. But that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now listen, that first birthday was very important. If I hadn't been born into this world, I wouldn't have needed salvation, because I'd never existed. But because I was born in this world, that second birth was so much more important. Because then I was birthed into God's family, and he gave me a new home, and he gave me a clear title to a mansion. Thank God that I have a title too, and my name is going to be written there. Whenever he calls it, it's going to be completed, and I'm going to be able to go there to be with God forevermore. We work and strive for years down here to get a clear title to our possessions, don't we? It used to be a big thing when you paid off your home mortgage, the burning of the mortgage. Anymore, I don't know if anybody gets theirs paid off if they get to burn it. Because American ways got into where you stay in debt. Till you die and then you're in debt because you didn't have everything prepared when you left. You came into the world of debt and leave the same way, but thank God God paid the debt that I couldn't pay and gave me a home in heaven. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Now we've heard that this morning. Have you ever thought about where does the wind start? Where does it stop? Is it always moving? Where does it go when it ain't here? Am I the only one that's ever thought that? How does it ever get back around here? Does it get stirred up again? Is it the politicians in Washington? You know, just certain things like that, how it gets going and gets stirred up like it does, and how it can blow so fierce and do so much damage, but yet it can do so much good at the same time. It's just amazing. We don't know where it comes from, don't know where it goes, but we hear it, we feel it, but we can't reckon where it's at. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And there's going to be people that's going to ask you, church, how can these things be? How could God love me? I'm a drunk, I'm a murderer. I've done all these things. I'm on drugs. I'm out in the ditch, and I'm wallowing in sin. How can God love me? Let me tell you, I didn't do all those things, but I was just as guilty as you are. Just as guilty. I was born in a sin debt that was created by Adam and Eve. Long time ago. And that debt's still there on mankind, and Christ is still paying it for those that will receive it. And let him stand in their stead. Jesus will do it. Jesus answered and said to him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? There's so many smart people today, but they're educated beyond their intelligence. They can't receive the simple things of God, because that just can't be that simple. Let's complicate it. Let's make it hard. Let's confuse people and make them feel like that they're just totally lost all the time. And if they ever mess up, then they're bound to go to hell. I've not seen where God said, if you mess up, I'm going to send you to hell for you messing up. He said unbelief was the only sin that couldn't be forgiven. If you never trust Christ as your Savior, he can't save you. If you never surrender to him, how can he come in? If you never open the door, how can the most special guest you'll ever receive enter into your home? You must receive Christ. He won't force himself. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness.
If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And there's so many people that can't believe a story that you tell them is true. You've got to verify it by two or three sources before they'll ever believe it. It's a shame the world has gotten that kind of shape. I had a gentleman one time. I ain't going to say his name because all of you know him. But he was known for being so crooked and not paying his debts that my boss told me if you would ever do any work for him, he's got to pay up front. So I went to price a job for him one day, and he said, and I told him he had to pay up front, and he said, "Am I the only one that has to do this?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Why?" I said, "You really got to ask." He didn't like it, but he paid. Well, our reputation goes before us because people speak of the things they know. Do we speak of the good things of God because we know it, or do we get quiet when we go out of the church? We need to share the Word of God with the lost and dying world. They've got itching ears heaping to themselves teachers and dying or going to hell because people are teaching them falsehoods. The Word of God is plain and simple, what it says and what we must do to be born again. But how can people believe things? Speak of a good report that whenever you tell them about Jesus, they'll believe you. They will believe you. "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever," that covers us all, not whether we're white, black, whether we're Japanese, Chinese, whether we're from Mongolia or wherever it might be, "but whosoever," covered every person that would ever be born upon the face of this earth, "whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Eternal life. Mine started the day I asked Jesus to be my Savior. I hope you're not waiting until you die to start your eternal life. Start it now. I'm going to live forever. I've died the last time that I'm going to die. I died out to sin when Jesus came in. Thank God he's taken me up. I'm laying off this old flesh. Going to crack this old nut, and I'm going to get out of this old body that's diseased and got diabetes and eye problems and all these things. I'm not going to have it any longer. Thank God I'm already healed. I'm just waiting to get that body. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Not a 30-day supply, not a 90-day supply. You know there's people that are teaching out there that hell is going to be burned up whenever the earth is destroyed by fire and there'll be no more hell. Everything's just going to get burned up. Satan's going to get burned up. His angels going to get burned up. And all those in hell's going to get burned up. That's a lie straight out of the pits of hell. It says it's going to be there for an eternity just as heaven is. But there's people teaching that, people believing it. "Well, if I go there, I'm just going to burn up and be over with." No, my friend, it is forever, forever, just as heaven is. God didn't want you to perish, so he sent the very best, his only begotten Son, Jesus. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Now, you know Jesus could have come, died on the cross, and said, "Now you don't have a choice about it. You're saved. And you're going to love me. You're going to follow me. You're going to worship me. I've done died for you, and that's the least you're going to do, and I'm going to make you do it." But he didn't. Because it's greater to love him because he did than for him to make us because he did. He wants you to choose to love him, to choose to get closer to God. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." There's people today that are going around saying there is no God. If there is no God, why does it offend them so much? Because I talk about him. If there is no Jesus Christ, why does it upset so many people? Because I talk about him. I know there's a devil. I don't get all wound up because somebody mentions there's a devil. I know there's a devil. And he's real. He used to be in heaven. He used to be there with God. Till he got too smart for his own good. I know he's real.
I know he comes against me every chance he gets. I know he goes before the throne room of God and says, I need to attack that Brad Wooten down there some more because he's still preaching your word, and I just need to trouble him a little more, see if I can't get him to quit. God says, go ahead. You just can't touch his soul. So he smacked me in this eye and caused me to lose my sight. He afflicted the body, but he can't afflict the soul. He knows he can't touch me. And thank God one day, God's got a body waiting on me that he can't afflict anymore either. Just like for you. But it comes through the blood of Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus. Do you know him as a Savior? Have you been through the story of Nicodemus? Nicodemus heard a whole lot of things here in just a short period of time that went totally against what he had been taught. They knew a Messiah was coming, but he didn't realize he was standing there talking to him. He knew he had to be a man of God because of the things that he'd done. Why do we still deny him? Because he is the Son of God, because of the things he's done in the past that we've seen, the miracles that we've seen in his congregation that he's done for us. But sometimes we still deny him being the Son of God and the power that he should have in our lives. And following his leadership toward home, we'll decide we want to take a siesta. We'll sit down by the road. Heard that song this morning. By the side of the road. Been traveling for Jesus most all my life. Sometimes we get weary and we sit down and we forget to get up and get started again. But it's time. It's time. And this is the condemnation. The light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Oh, there's so much evil going on today. So much evil in the world. So much evil here in this county right now that we don't know about. Meth bust going on over here in Ashe County. 50-some people arrested. Making this methamphetamine. I've told you my opinion on it. They ought to be charged with murder or attempted murder. Anybody that manufactures any kind of illegal drug and sells to people, they ought to be charged with it. That's just my opinion. You can take that or leave it. It didn't cost you no extra. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds shall be reproved. But he that doth truth come to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You know, there's a lot of people wait till it gets dark before they get to stirring because their mind's on evil. Sometimes that scanner gets lit up when it gets dark. People doing things they ought not be doing. Police having to run here and there, taking care of things. And they think it's hid by the dark, but it don't hide it. But I'm thankful that we have church on Sunday morning, and we can show the world that we're still interested in God. Not that we're making a show, but we are doing the works of God, that we are coming and assembling ourselves together to praise and worship God, to lift Him up, and that people may see and be able to be partaker with it. Because Christ loves us all the same way. That we'll do the works of God and they be wrought in the light. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. After his meeting with Nicodemus, he still had people to preach to. Jesus was very busy in the third three and a half years that he was ministering. Very busy man, had a lot to say, short time to get it said. But it's been enough for an eternity. The work that he completed was enough for eternity. Are you prepared for eternity today? Are you saved? Are you set apart? Are you God's peculiar people? And I don't mean to be hard to get along with. I mean to be different. To act different, look different, sound different. To know Jesus is to be different. As they get a song of invitation ready this morning, there's enough been said in these 22 verses of Scripture that God has given us in the report of John that could save the world if they'll only listen. If they'll only listen. There's so many that are not preaching the word for money's sake. Afraid of offending someone by the word of God. I'm afraid not to offend you by the word of God. And if the word of God offends you, man, woman, boy, or girl, then you need to come to the altar. Not for the preacher's ego, but for your heart to make it right with God. As we stand to our feet, all heads bowed, all eyes closed, no one looking over the congregation. If you're here this morning and you're lost and undone without Christ, will you receive Him this morning? Will you ask Him to come into your heart? Will you lift your hand? Say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm lost and undone without Jesus. And I know I need to be saved. Will you pray for me that I can be saved this morning?" God loves you this morning. If you've never had a moment in time that you can remember surrendering to Jesus, today would be a great day that you'd come unto Him. Would there be a hand anywhere? Say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm lost. And I need Jesus." Would there be one anywhere? Lift it high that I could see. Would there be one anywhere? Friend, maybe you're standing there in your pew this morning and you got a need on your heart. Whatever it might be, will you bring it to Jesus? Will you step out and come? Whatever the need might be, Jesus is big enough to handle your every need. Will you come? Will you talk to Him? Whatever it might be, come and talk to Jesus. Jesus is the friend that will listen. He'll go with you even to the ends of the earth. Just a few more moments and we're going to pray. You have a burden. Please come. Please come. You may be seated where you are. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day and we thank You for the reminder of Your Word as we read in John, dear God, about salvation. About Nicodemus coming and inquiring. Dear God, we pray that those, dear Heavenly Father, that may be out there lost in sin, would come inquiring about Jesus and what it takes to be saved. Dear Heavenly Father, we'd be ready with the answers from the Word of God, that we would share it with them, dear God, in love and compassion. We'd take time to pray with them, direct them in the paths of God's Word. God, we thank You for these that have come this morning, whatever their needs might be, as they lay them out upon the altar, dear God. May they lay them there and not receive them back. But God, give them to You and walk in unity, dear Heavenly Father, with the burden lifted, dear Heavenly Father, and their hearts light, knowing that You are going to answer and supply their needs, whatever it might be. God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for giving us this opportunity. We thank You for the men and women that have fought for this country to be able to give us this right from very early in our childhood as a nation all the way to now, that have protected these freedoms that's guaranteed to us by our Constitution, but more importantly, the freedom of worshiping God given us by You, by Your Son, that we are set free, and those that God that You have set free are free indeed. And we thank You no longer be in bondage to this world of sin. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And God, I thank You one day I'll step off on that shore to be there with You for an eternity. God, I pray that You go with each one, dear Heavenly Father. Bless each home that's represented here today in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.